So a month or longer ago, I don't know, we met Don and John somehow. Never in person. It's the first time we meet you guys in person. You guys are screenwriters. Over the weekend, you're at a screenwriting convention.
That's right.
We ended up talking. You just, Rich somehow pitched you guys on, you know, seeing some movies and reviewing for us, and you've done a great job.
I think
you are splendid.
You are really good. And they're good looking. They could have a TV show doing this, couldn't they?
They're good looking. And here's the thing is that, I know, John, you are married and have kids.
Yes.
Now, Don, are you married?
I am married and have puppies.
You're married and have puppies.
That's right.
Hey, you're
they're
both good looking.
Easier to give birth to, right?
You guys are both you're both good looking, and Don, you have very nice feet.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank
you. But the thing is, both your spouses, like you guys were in LA over last weekend together.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Were you guys in the same room?
Just during the review.
No. You had separate hotel rooms.
Yes, we did.
And then last night, you go out to go see Harry Potter, but there's only a midnight showing.
Yes.
So, how do you tell your spouses, "Hey, I'm going to go hook up with"? Don, I'm going to hook up. We're going out at midnight, so you're leaving the house at 11:15.
They're like, "Hey, good luck. We're going to bed. See you later."
Really? They're just over you guys.
Totally cool.
They're very cool.
How are they not a couple? Can't you see them being married?
Oh, I think they've totally had an affair.
Really?
Oh, come on.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't think John Jay would say anything about that this morning.
I think that there's definitely some chemistry going on between you. Not only screenwriting, but there's some sexual chemistry going on here.
Let me ask you this, everybody.
I can't turn it off. You know what I'm saying?
I saw it with you and Randy when you're walking down the hall.
Yeah.
So, John, you and your wife have had this discussion like, okay, if I die, who do you want to marry? You've had that discussion before. Of course you have. She picks out your wife, and it's usually one of her friends who you don't even know who they are,
right,
really.
Right.
But you'd pick out Dawn.
No.
I am almost positive they've never had that conversation.
That's right.
Have your spouses met each other?
Yeah, they know each other.
Yeah.
They know each other. Do they like each other?
Yep, they like each other.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay, so does your wife like Dawn, John?
My wife adores Dawn, yes.
And does your husband like John's wife?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Wait, how long have you been married to your husband?
Let's see, 11 years.
11 years. John, how long have you been married?
8 weeks. No. 17 years.
17? You seem like a really young guy.
I know. I started when I was about 12.
No. So, are you guys at all? Oh, you are. Aren't you guys like kinky swingers and stuff?
Oh, come on.
You know, his mom's listening today.
Not with each other, no.
So, you're telling us.
We have our own little clubs going.
So, you're telling us what it is strictly the platonic business relationship. That's all that's going on here between you two.
Yeah.
You got it.
We're not going to hear 5 years from now that, you left your wife and you left.
Like the whole Garth Trisha Yearwood thing.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Oh,
like
now, last phrase, we just hang out. We just inspired musically by each other.
Just like Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie.
Spend a little time with Dawn and you'll understand. You go out with Dawn and her husband and she's fun. You go work on a project. I went to England with her for a real business trip. I still have not done number two in Europe because I did not have time. She worked us like dogs. That's the way she is.
You know what, John?
I get that. You're kind of like the Energizer Bunny because when we said, hey, is there any way you can find a premiere of Harry Potter? 8 seconds later, she calls back, I've checked all throughout the Southwest, and there's a midnight showing that won't be at. I've already got tickets. And it was like an eighth of a second later. She's already on it.
Wow.
You're good, sister. You got to do what you got to do. You're good.
John has a look about him, which is what I've decided you look like. You look like if John Ritter and Sam Neill from Jurassic Park
had a
kid. You look like both of them.
I was thinking of Jack Tripper, and that's not what I had an impression of you on the phone. You know, they never look like how you think they're going to look.
John was like gray hair old guy.
Oh, really?
I did.
Know what I was thinking?
Oh, wow.
Jim Belushi. I was thinking Jim Belushi the whole way. And Don, you pretty much look exactly like I thought you'd look.
You figured that because of their spouses being, go spend the weekend together in L.A.
Right.
Like, one of them was like, there was no way it was going to, but they're both attractive people.
But the way you hear him talk on the phone, it sounds like he doesn't do anything around the house anyway. So him missing, probably no big deal to the wife.
No
get him out.
No big deal at all.
So
right.
I was thinking Jim Belushi.
Yeah.
Instead, he's Jack Tripper.
So you guys.
He's according to Jack, not according to Jim.
You live in Tucson.
Yes.
You are future screenwriters. You've written a movie.
Yes, we have.
All right, and you're hoping to get signed so that they can make it big time. But in the meantime, you'll help us out reviewing movies until you get discovered.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And
we're having a great time.
Even after we're discovered.
So you're telling us if your movie is a smash, like The 40-Year-Old Virgin, like a hit that no one expected, and you're a gazillionaire, you will still review movies for us.
You bet.
Sure, absolutely.
Would you, in fact, kill us off in like some kind of boating accident in your next movie, John Jay and I?
Just one of you, so I could see who the other would marry up with.
Violent impalement? That would be fantastic.
Cindy's on the line.
Who are you thinking of, Rich? Who would you go with as your partner if John Jay was killed?
If John Jay was killed, I'd probably leave radio.
Ryan Seacrest?
He is a better John Jay.
He's a better me. There's no better.
He's never wearing the suit, right?
Sydney's got a question for you guys. Go ahead, Sydney. You're on the air.
Hi, John Jay and Rich.
Hello.
Hi, John and John.
Hi.
Hello. Are you just going to post your pictures on the website? I really want to see what they look like.
Can we take your pictures today so we can put them next to your movie reviews?
Sure.
I've been asking you guys
that
forever.
Yeah. I know. We're a little challenged in the picture-taking department.
Can we also can we put your feet on our website?
If you want.
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
not
I'll go ahead.
Not your show. All right, let's talk movies. Thanks, Cindy. Thanks for calling. All right, let's talk flicks, man. So you guys saw the midnight showing of Harry Potter. What theater did you go to?
We went to Park Place Theater.
Nice
they had
theater.
Four showings.
Holy crap. Were they packed?
Five showings, actually.
Five showings, and they were
all
packed.
Sold out.
Were they all sold out?
Mm-hmm.
Were they freaky? Were they dressed like wizards and stuff?
Yeah, there was a lot of that.
Yeah, there's a lot of teenage androgynous, you know, weird people wandering around. But
you're the conformist.
Well, you know, we went to Star Wars when it came out. We saw a lot of that happening where they're dressing up Star Wars. It was bigger than that with the Harry Potter thing.
Are you serious?
There were more people dressing up, more people getting into
That's
it.
That's why Carrie's sick today. She went to the midnight showing of Harry Potter.
I bet.
Aha!
That is so not fair.
Fever! Really? No, she's not feeling good. She wasn't feeling good all week.
Wow.
Were you guys dressed as muggles, or were you dressed as wizards and warlocks?
I was dressed as an engineer from a missile company.
And I was wearing a garbage bag.
So with a lot of previews, before you get to the movie, I really like previews of movies. Mm-hmm. And when a big movie opens up like Star Wars or Harry Potter, the previews before the movie starts are usually really good.
Mm-hmm.
So what were the previews last night?
One of them was the new Charlize Theron movie.
That Axon Flux?
Yes. Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
That looks stupid.
It was a long preview, though.
That's stupid. I can see from the preview that's stupid.
Yeah, that doesn't look too
what
good.
Else?
What else was there, John? Keep in mind, this was midnight. We were trying to save our energy for the actual movie.
No Superman? Like, they didn't tease Superman?
Superman, yeah. Superman was
Oh, that's
was,
it. Yeah, that was.
Okay,
yeah.
So how was that? Did they show anything? Because they're not done making it, or did they show the logo or something?
They showed him.
They did.
They showed the back of him. They showed him flying around. Then they showed his face at
does
the end.
Does it look good?
It looks good.
Oh, man.
Does it
I
look CGI
wait.
Or does it look?
It does look very CGI.
Yeah, it's
very
it
slick
does.
Looking. Yeah, very
it
colorful.
Does.
You know, kind of like Dick Tracy was years ago.
Oh,
yeah.
I hated that movie.
But you know what you said last week? You said this kind of caught my attention. That movie Zathura,
mm-hmm.
It's cool looking because they use camera tricks instead of the CGI,
right.
Computer stuff.
Right.
I'm so over the computer stuff. And you know what killed it for me? It's Catwoman. So stupid looking. And I mean, there's nothing about it that looks realistic. The Hulk was the same way. Just do camera
Hulk
tricks.
Like that,
we actually talked to David Koepp, who wrote War of the Worlds at the last at the expo last weekend, and he was saying that he thinks that CGI's gone too far and is finally coming back.
Did you tell him War of the Worlds was stupid?
No.
I said I couldn't believe you got paid $4 million for that.
Did he write that stupid ending where everybody's okay in a brownstone in Boston?
Apparently
stupid.
Did. I don't know. Apparently
it was kind of an adaptation from the original, you know. Not the whole brownstone in Boston thing though. But.
Before you review the movie Harry Potter, Joe is on the line and I think he was there too.
Okay.
Joe, you're on the air.
Hey, good morning. This is Joe. I was at the 12:10 showing of Harry Potter last night at Park Place, and so we're all sitting waiting for the movie to start, and these two girls, one dressed as Malfoy and one dressed as Harry Potter, come up in front of the screen, and they start doing this weird dance thing. So they're just kind of doing that for a minute, and they just start making out with each other. And
oh,
you do that
serious?
For a while.
God, we were in the 12:20.
Yeah, we missed that
really?
Totally.
and then she pushed the other one up against the wall and started fooling around, I guess. Like,
are you serious?
That is one hell of a movie.
It was getting crazy. It was like the New Orleans Superdome in those places because they put us in there like 2 hours early.
They did. They seated us a couple hours early. It was,
you're kidding.
Yeah, it was crazy.
What time did you guys get to the theater then?
Well, we got there at 6 because we went to Just Friends first.
Oh, wow.
We've been to two movies in the last 12 hours. I probably reek of popcorn. Don's sweating butter.
Yeah, what do you snack on when you're watching? Are you a popcorn guy?
I didn't eat popcorn this time. I typically do, but we both went with hot dogs.
It was going to be our only meal for like 36 hours. So.
How ironical that you guys would go to Harry Potter and then see a movie Just Friends. Both of you guys being in other relationships.
Is there a message there, perhaps?
Interesting. All right, so let's review. Let's go. Let's talk movies.
All right.
Let's start with Just Friends, if that's okay. The moral of the story here is, and Rich, I think, will back me up with this, hot chicks, you know who you are. Especially your garden variety high school hot chicks, please do not be nice to losers. Mm-hmm. If you're nice to losers, if you're best friends, but you're quote unquote just friends with some dorky, pathetic, loyal to a fault guy, rest assured that he's going to be totally obsessed with you for the rest of his life. So
you get a lot of mixtapes out of it, though. Which
exactly. Mixtapes are in this movie, the BFS, Best Friends Forever.
Oh.
So it's better to torture him now, like God intended it, instead of torturing him for eternity.
So painful, painful, painful.
It was hard to watch. But the Ryan Reynolds character is very chubby, super unpopular. He's the odd kid in high school and has a huge crush on his best friend, who happens to be the head cheerleader. And that's Amy Smart who plays that. And his problem is he's in the friend zone. He doesn't want to be in the friend zone. But his self-confidence is completely crushed by the head football player. So he decides he's leaving town, and someday he's coming back and he's going to get even. So 10 years later, he's a trim, gorgeous, highly successful womanizer.
I love it.
And the makeup is really good, because when he's super heavy, it looks great. You can't tell. It's really good. So he's working for a record producer, and his boss sends him on a mission to sign a new singer who's played by Anna Faris. And she has lots of looks and no talent, which is pretty funny. And the circumstances land him and the hot singer right back in his hometown, where he has to face his past. He manages to enlist his horny brother to distract the singer while he chases after the cheerleader. And he beats up a little girl, or actually he gets beaten up by a little girl. He nearly gets electrocuted. He's relentlessly, and no kidding, stalked by the singer. And he sets Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer on fire.
Happens.
His naive mother, his competitive brother, and the psycho client lead him down a comical path that ultimately brings him and the cheerleader together.
Yes, as far as movies go, this one really reminds you about the importance of good therapy and timely restraining orders. as far as traditional romantic comedies, this one's really not bad. The Ryan Reynolds, Anna Faris combination we saw in the movie Waiting, which was filmed about the same time. I think that was a side project to this movie. That one, of course, to us was excruciating. This one was actually pretty funny. Not the best thing ever, but Ryan Reynolds has kind of redeemed himself with this. His timing was on this time. He did a lot of physical comedy. It was all fairly predictable, but pretty entertaining.
Good date movie?
A good job.
Yeah, it's a good date movie.
Yeah, would it be in the top five? 15.
Top five?
Like when the grosses come in over the weekend?
Oh, it might be. Hmm. It might be. It doesn't open until next Wednesday.
Yeah. Did you go to the Care Q screening?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we did.
Yeah. So nice. This one on our movie night, Traffic Light, we give this one a yellow. If you compared it to just Waiting, it'd be a green, but if you compare it to every other movie, it's a yellow.
There's a bunch out right now, too, including the big one that opens this weekend.
Mm-hmm. The big one is Harry Potter. Let's talk about Harry Potter.
Okay, excellent.
Harry Potter.
Who dies?
And the Goblet of Fire. Actually, I don't get it. I don't understand the movie at all. I'm completely lost. If you're not familiar, of course, Harry Potter is the series of books from the English author J.K. Rowling, which is used pretty much throughout the world to introduce children to the concept of recreational reading as well as the occult.
I'm going to try to fill in the blanks for you, John, as much as I can here. Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire takes place just before and during the fourth year at Hogwarts, which is their school. The main story begins when Hogwarts is selected to host the Tri-Wizard Tournament. And what happens is three schools come together, and they have a representative from each school, and they go to this tournament, and it's a really big deal. And what happens is there are three challenges, and each is harder than the last. And they first must battle a dragon to retrieve a golden egg that holds the clue for the second challenge.
Aha!
And the second one, they must search for the lost treasure at the bottom of a lake, which is the treasure happens to be their best friends. They're being held captive at the bottom of the lake.
Well, that's not very fair.
Mm-hmm. And finally, they must find their way through a maze and capture the coveted cup to win the tournament. But the interesting thing is Hogwarts should have had one representative on this tournament, but the Goblet of Fire, for the first time ever in history, selected two, and one of them is Harry. So Harry's in the tournament. What he doesn't realize, however, is that they are in a life and death struggle against the rising powers of Voldemort. This is very scary stuff. So during his adventure, Harry must place trust in his friends, listen to his instincts, endure betrayal, and confront death in order to fight like he has never fought before in order to survive.
So is it any good?
Honest to God, I don't recollect any of that. How much of this did I see? I swear. What Harry Potter reminds me of is if you have kids, like I play football in the house with my 10-year-old.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, the first play, because I kick butt, he starts making up rules. And by the 10th play, he has this made-up phenomenal game that makes no sense to me whatsoever. That's what Harry Potter is. It's continuation of stream of conscious made up things that kids can kind of identify with, but adults have trouble following. So if you're 14 years old and you've read the books and you've been to the other three movies, this might be a good one, but it didn't make a whole lot of sense to me.
That book is really, really good, but you almost don't need to see the movie because the book's really good, and the movie never looks different than the book. The Harry Potter ones, they all look just like you think the book's going
to
be.
You know what's funny is we were listening to the crowd, and they actually took a poll in our theater asking everybody what book that was their favorite, and this one was the favorite for the crowd. Really? But afterwards, the reaction from those diehard fans was just kind of, oh, it's over? And just sort of a bland reaction.
Okay, let me ask you this. Somebody dies in this movie, right? And it's well known because they die in the book, too.
Okay.
So who is it? Is that a secret? That's not a secret, is
no,
it?
It's a dorky teenage kid. I don't know what his name is.
So it's not
Bombadar or Goofagaw. I don't know.
Oh, it's not one of the main dudes.
I don't think so. Who are the main dudes?
They don't kill
it wasn't one of the main dudes.
It's not Harry Potter. I figured him out.
It's the other guy that Harry's paired up with on the team for Hogwarts.
Is that Malfoy guy there still there? Malfoy? Is he still the mean guy?
Draco Malfoy, the blonde kid, the kind of.
Yeah, he's still there. And he's not the one that dies.
Are any of them shaving yet? Because they're old now, right?
Yeah, they're getting close.
Yeah, they're
getting close.
In fact, they're 15 in real life, yeah.
They had to, it was a $140 million budget, and I guess a certain portion of that was spent on some new technology that will blotch out acne on the teenage actors.
Yeah,
so
they had some trouble
with
the teenage
acne. They couldn't do it with makeup.
What age are the actors? Do you know?
They're 15.
They're 15 and they're playing 14-year-olds.
Right.
So then let them have acne then.
Yeah. Yeah.
Here's what I want to know if
they
address. I was a 15-year-old boy. I was a 14-year-old boy, and what guys go through, like girls go through their period at like 11, 12, whatever.
Yep.
Guys, for no reason at all.
During math class.
You just get this. You get aroused. That's what happens to guys.
And there's actually 30 minutes where Harry Potter disappears in the bathroom.
That's why the movie's so long.
Do you remember that happening? Like, you'd be in math class. All of a sudden, you'd get all like, boing. And you're like, I don't know what's going on. Why do I have to? And then you walk funny so that no one can notice. So I'm wondering, you're like Harry, you see him in his robe, and there's like a little thing poking out inside a little tent as he's walking around, flying around.
You must have blocked that out, too.
That's his Nimbus 2000.
I think both of us lost some of it on this because it really was long. And I'm not sure if it felt long because we're sitting there until 3 o'clock in the morning, but there were parts that just seemed awfully long.
Yeah, those movies, it's almost like they're made for the super fans, the super, super fans, and they're probably so concerned with getting stuff exactly like it is in the book that they can't make it any shorter or people will complain. They didn't put this in there.
Right.
They didn't put that in there.
Right.
No, this one was a lot of CGI too. So, they actually did it really good. It's kind of cool to see just for the visual effects of it. But
so, what do you give it on your little traffic light, stoplight, go light?
On our movie night traffic light, I hope nobody gets really angry with this, but we actually give it a yellow because the fans were pretty bland about the reaction, and the not diehard fans are not going to really get this.
We're safe with yellow. No 14-year-olds are going
to
beat us up.
It's fair to say that it seems like the books are getting better. And the movies are falling off a little bit.
Well, you know what they're doing is they're selecting a different director for each movie.
And who did this one?
This one is Mike Newell, who did Donnie Brasco, Four Weddings and a Funeral.
Donnie Brasco? Yeah. You pick him to do Harry Potter?
I guess. Yep.
Scarface director was sick?
Lisa's on the phone. Lisa, what's up? You're on the air. You got some Harry Potter info?
You guys are getting it all wrong.
That's entirely possible.
There we go.
What happened?
Okay. Straighten us out.
The boy that dies is Harry's classmate, but his name is Cedric.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah.
That sounds
good. I don't remember.
Are you sure?
And go on.
Okay, and the characters in real life, the guy that plays Ron, he's 18. He's not 15.
Okay.
Oh.
Harry's 15.
We were given an
Harry,
average
age. I think, just turned 16, and the girl who plays Hermione just turned 16.
Will you
My
go
God,
see this today?
Get a life.
Lisa, will you go see this today?
I am so going to try to, but we're supposed to be going out of town, so I might have to wait till we get to California.
Okay, just carve 6 hours out of your day, because that's what it's going to take, apparently. The movie's pretty long.
You're going to have to stand in line for a good couple hours first to get a seat.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah,
we started
standing in line, no kidding, at 9 o'clock.
Yeah, I really like her attitude about, I am so going to try.
No, I am seeing this movie. It may not be today. It might be this weekend, but definitely by next week, I will have seen this movie.
All right, Lisa, it'll definitely be number one at the box office.
Oh, no doubt. They spent $140 million on this. It better be number one.
That's one of those things that they don't really have to hype. All they have to do is say when it comes out, and then the hype takes care of itself. Right. They don't need to buy commercials.
Yeah, so Harry Potter opens today. It opened at midnight. If you want to read the review again, your reviews are on our website. At johnjanerich.com. We're going to take pictures of Don and John, put them on the website. You can look at it and see if you see sexual chemistry through the photo.
Oh, it's there. It's there, buddy.
Yeah.